If you've ever tried to learn a foreign language, you know that it's more than just learning how to pronounce these foreign words. It's really an entryway into a whole way of looking at the world. As you come to know the language of another society and another culture, you get to know something about the way they see things. And they say that the best way that for you to really learn another language is to be immersed. Somehow where you have to kind of live in it and struggle to speak, and you know, you stop just sort of translating things in your head to be able to say it, and then it just sort of flows. They say when you start dreaming in another language, then you know you're really fluent. But there are some words that are hard to translate or hard to understand because it's just not part of our experience. I was talking to a priest from Kenya who was going home, and when he was here, he had a chance to go ice fishing. And he was going to try to translate that into his people live on the equator. There's no word for ice fishing in Swahili. And I understand that in some Asian cultures, in Japan and others, where there is kind of a, what they call an honor and shame society, that it's hard for them to understand the concept of forgiveness. It's just not part of their experience. And so we kind of struggle, and we make analogies, we kind of talk around it so that we can understand this concept until it can somehow become part of our experience. In Mark's gospel, there are three times where he does not translate the words that Jesus is saying. Most of what Mark is writing is in Greek. That's the language of his hearers. And he uses words only a few times where he doesn't translate it. And today is one of those times. When we have this healing, he says the Aramaic word, ephpha. And the readings today are trying to open us up to understand the meaning of the gospel. And what does it mean, as we'll hear from Isaiah, what does it mean to be saved in a foreign land? And how do we come to understand God's language, which for everyone and for us begins as a foreign language, that we can begin to understand it, we can begin to be immersed in it, so much so that it becomes part of our lives too. And so we're being invited to this experience today of ephpha, to be opened, that we might be opened to God's word. So we hear in Isaiah this reading of the people of Israel who are in a foreign land. They're in exile in Babylon. And they are foreigners in that land. It's all foreign territory. And Isaiah comes to them to say, God is coming to you to save you. And what's being saved means, he goes on to say, is that you're going to be opened. You will witness signs of the blind being opened. You will witness signs of the deaf being opened. Those who can't speak, their mouth will be opened. And the desert will that is so dry, there will be a way open for the river to flow in. And for those who are lame, they will be lifted up so that they can leap, it says. They will be opened up so they can walk on this way. So that this experience of being saved is this experience of being opened to the water. But the step that each of them and each of us has to take is for us to drink the water, to walk the path. God opens the way for us, opens our minds, opens our hearts, can open our eyes that we might see But then we're invited to step, immerse ourselves in the water. And the grace that we hear in this reading from Isaiah, it says, the water comes to a thirsty land. And in a strange way, it's the land that is thirsty that's going to drink. It's the one who knows that they are blind, who has a desire to see, that's going to want to see. There is a grace to wanting to hear and understand that leads us to hearing and understanding. St. Thomas Aquinas, when he was talking about grace, the grace that saves us, he says there is a grace called a prevenient grace. It's the grace that opens us to grace. It's that hunger that makes us want to eat. It's that desire, it's that restlessness. Maybe it's that experience of that foreign territory of being homeless. And the many ways that we can experience the foreign territory of our lives, the foreign territory of a change in your health, the foreign territory of a change in your relationship, the foreign territory of a loss, the foreign territory where you don't understand the rules anymore, the loss of a job or whatever it might be, you're in foreign territory. And sometimes until you realize what it means to be homeless, you don't know what it means to desire home. And so God, we hear it in the gospel reading, blessed are those who are blind so that they can see. Blessed are those who are deaf so that they can hear. There is a blessing in the various ways that we are led to desire the blessing, the grace that opens us to grace. Today in the gospel, we have this story of the deaf man being led to Jesus in this place called the Decapolis. The Decapolis is in north of Galilee. It is clearly foreign territory for Jesus. He's never been there. There's no Jews there. They're all Hellenists. They all speak Greek. And so here Jesus goes there. It's foreign territory for him. Nobody knows them there, so he thinks. And somehow these people with no names bring this deaf person to him. And the question I'm wondering is, who are these people who brought the deaf person to Jesus? How did they know about Jesus in the Decapolis of all places? And if you look back three chapters, this is chapter 7 and 8. If you go back to chapter 5, there was an earlier healing. You remember the cure of the demoniac? The man who had all those voices and evil spirits in his head? And it says, Jesus said to him, be opened. He opened his mind and healed him. And then he said, go home and tell your friends and tell your family. And it says he was from Decapolis. And I'm just wondering if the people that are bringing the deaf man to Jesus are those who have also been opened. And they've been healed. And they want to lead this person so that they might also experience that. And so Jesus receives this deaf person just as he does often anyone who's going to heal. It says he takes them away from the crowd to a quiet place just alone and speaks to that part in that person. What is that foreign territory in your life? Is it in your mental health? Is it your ability to hear or understand? Is it your feeling dead inside? What is that place that is closed in foreign land? And he says to them, just to that person personally, be opened. Ephatha. And I think the same is true for us. When we enter foreign land, The good news is that Jesus comes to save us. He's coming to us, to our foreign land. He'll meet you there when you're in foreign land. And he comes to save you and me, which means to be opened. To open us to the grace so that we might step and be immersed in the grace. To open us to the signs of this new way of living, this new language of the good news of the gospel, that we might begin to learn that language, we might become fluent in that language. And so it's James who is saying to his community, listen, he says, be opened. Don't fall back into the old language, the old way of speaking and living, where we play favorites. You remember those days where you look up to some who have more and you look down to have little? He says, we are beyond that days. We don't talk like that anymore. That is not our language. We don't play favorites. We show no partiality. In fact, don't you remember? It's in our own poverty, and it is in our own disabilities, if you will, that God is revealing the kingdom. So stay close to the poor. Stay close to the hungry and the thirsty, those who are blind and those are deaf, because they have a special place in God's plan in their life and in our life. So today, as we gather around the table of the Lord, let us pray for that grace of Ephatha, that we might be opened to allow the Lord to speak to that foreign territory in our own lives and those foreign territories in our world, that we might be opened to his way, to his word, and that we might be immersed in that word, and that it become fluent in our lives. Huh?